Chapter 25. The Last Strand Cut. A stranger walked amongst the crop, coming out of the midday sun. He held a staff and leaned on it heavily as he made his way through the field. The farmer, watching the stranger, paused in his labours, wiping the honest sweat from his brow with his sleeve, but kept the scythe to hand. Its sharp blade glinted in the hot sun. The air trembled and clouds gathered, presaging rain. The stranger kept on going, but moved slowly. Wounded, the farmer realized. Or perhaps he was simply old or carrying a lasting injury. He had known soldiers who had done so. The memories of them and the places he had met them were vague, indistinct, more like impressions than true recollections. Deep trenches, crowned by coils of barbed wire, mustard yellow gas intruding, an ecstasy of fumbling. Hot jungles, men sweating away to bone, the harsh caress of a napalm sunrise. Endless deserts, dusty roadsides, forever wary of the incendiary devices in the burned-out carcasses of vehicles vanquished by aimless shelling. The reek of oil on the breeze. The images felt unfamiliar, almost borrowed. The stranger did not look like a soldier. He did not even look like a man. The staff he carried looked ordinary enough, but the loose robes hanging off his body had unusual runes woven into the fabric. The farmer thought he knew the language, but his memory failed him. It had been doing that a lot of late. Vestiges of old remembrances sometimes came to him in the night. Terrors, in truth. Battlefields, blood and deaths, the old wars. By the time morning came, they had faded, but a mote of those nightmares lingered still. A storm was coming. Adjusting his grip on the scythe's haft, he thought about hailing the stranger to ask him his business. He looked to the stoop of the agri-barn. For guidance? Permission? But the smoking man who had been sitting there and watching him throughout the long afternoon had gone. And then the farmer realized something as the stranger closed coming towards him. Memories began to return. This is the storm. Eldrad let his hand drift through the ears of corn and the long grass, even though he knew it wasn't real, not really. Their soft barbs caressed his skin. The sun warmed his weary body. He had seldom felt pain as acute as this, but then, he reasoned, he should probably be dead instead of Slaudar. That had been foolish and arrogant. He resolved not to make the same mistake with Prytanis.
"Where are you, Daemon?"
he hissed, his voice captured by the wind and echoed back at him. The Perpetual had left the stoop. He saw the other one up ahead, diminished. A gentle psychic touch had begun to unweave his shrouded memories of Anatol Hive, of the Asylum, of Nerth, of Treoris, of Macragge, all cascading like coloured glass from a broken kaleidoscope. Sudden movement, little more than a stirring of the wind, caught Eldrad's eye. Beyond the minor compulsion he had invested in the farmer, he found his psychic sight inhibited and realized the chamber must be shielded in some fashion. Either that, or Prytanis was. He murmured as much to his companion, though his gaze remained on the point where the long grass had moved, and hissed,
"Find him."
Eldrad edged closer to the source of the disturbance, his route taking him away from the farmer. His time would come. Eldrad slowed, not just his gait, but his breathing, even his thoughts. Ever so carefully, Eldrad drew his sword. Something crouched there in that long grass, poised, waiting. Though it pained him, Eldrad sank down into a low fighting stance, his blade held close to his face, two-handed, the edge turned outwards like a spear pointing out prey.
"I have you. You really don't," said a voice from behind him.
Eldrad turned, throwing up a hasty defence as a burst of hypervelocity monomolecular discs scythed towards him. Most of the rounds broke apart or embedded in the psychic barrier, dropping down harmlessly as it dissipated, but one got through, cutting across Eldrad's thigh and eliciting a cry of agony as he sank down further into the grass. Wheat barbs lashed his face as he scurried away from the attack, chased by the whining drone of paired shuriken pistols. The rate of fire kicked out by the sling guns cut long tracts in the field and left a wake of severed stalks, but the seer evaded the deadly projectiles.
"You've brought a sword to a gunfight, seer!"
crowed Prytanis. He was a slovenly man with an ill-favoured look about him. Even his voice had a swagger. Of all the immortal Monkay he had met, Eldrad disliked him the most. Another scything burst pushed the seer deeper into the fields and farther away from the farmer. He recognised the brace of sidearms, though his sight of them had been brief and under considerable duress. Gahuru and Mehemnete. Their names had grandiose and overly belligerent meanings. Slaudar had never been one for subtlety, a trait that extended to his armoury, an armoury he had evidently extended to his lackeys. Prytanis kept up a nigh-relentless barrage of fire, but his efforts smacked of the experimental.
"A little help here?"
Prytanis asked of his charge, but the farmer looked numb, beyond his reach. Even injured, Eldrad could move fast. The human had already lost him, but spoke between bursts, hoping to goad his target into revealing himself.
"I hear Gahet is dead. Can't say I'll mourn him. I liked him the least," said Prytanis. "And by least, I mean not at fugging all. And if you're here, I mean really here,"
he added between two curt salvos,
"then Slaudar must be dead too. I'm thinking that wasn't easy. He had help, protection."
"So do I," said Eldred.
And it was Prytanis's turn to react to the voice behind him. He did, faster than a human had any right to, firing from the hip. A razor-edged storm spat from the guns, cutting Eldrad in half, only for his hologrammatic simulacrum to flicker and reassert itself a metre to the left.
"Clever, you took one of their Dathidi suits,"
muttered Prytanis, just as a hulking figure in Legion warplate emerged from the long grass.
"And you brought a friend,"
he added, a little dismayed, and began to run. At the same time, a musical note sounded, incongruous against the bucolic backdrop of chirruping birds and the gentle drone of insects reaping pollen. As the dull, flat report of a rifle cut the air, Eldrad recognised the chime.
"More are coming,"
he warned his ally, who paused in the action of sighting down his weapon. In the distance, Prytanis made for the cover of the agribarn, not so foolish as to match a pair of pistols, admittedly extremely deadly pistols, against a Brontus-pattern legionary breech-loader. The farmer stood still, seemingly unable to react. He wasn't able to. Eldrad had him, psychic dampeners or not.
"Down,"
he sent, and the farmer dropped his scythe and disappeared beneath the golden wheat. Balthusar Narek had reverted to a kneeling position, rifle braced over his right thigh, as six warriors in black fed into the chamber. Not a field at all. Its false horizon had limits. The warriors had just emerged out of them. The first went down with a shot to her elliptical eyepiece. Blood spurted from the back of her head as the rear section of the helmet shattered. She dropped. The others spread out, segmented armour plate catching the sun. They returned fire, shredding the air and turning the field into a blizzard of flying wheat. Eldrad heard a grunt as Narek took the pain. He heard him swear too, a Colchisian expletive he did not understand, but which brought a smile to his lips regardless.
"Fight well, Barthuser."
He did not see what happened next. He had his back to the fight, intent on the agribarn where he had last seen Prytanis. If the warriors thought to stop him, no shots came his way. An Eldar will always choose a Monkay as its enemy in preference to one of its own. The agribarn loomed, oddly quiet despite the battle happening within earshot. Flat, hard rifle bangs warred with the high-pitched whine of rapidly dispersed flechette rounds. Before he entered, Eldrad tried to find the farmer. He had become psychically visible since the seer had eased the bindings on his mind. He remained in hiding, instinct as well as impulse keeping him safe for now. Prytanis proved much more elusive.
"Slaudar taught you to guard yourself, then,"
whispered Eldrad as he stepped slowly, painfully, onto the stoop. It smelled of woodchip and tree sap, the cloying aroma of sacked grain and spelt as he passed under the arch of the door. Shadows loitered within, leavened only slightly by the faint shafts of simulated sunlight penetrating through the beams above. A shallow creak ran throughout the floor as Eldrad stepped on an old board, resonating all the way to the wooden struts that held the barn several meters off the ground. Metal storage bins and old agricultural equipment crowded an otherwise expansive floor space. It churned and rattled, shaking with recent activation, and anointing the heady scents of the fields with the more industrial reek of burning oil and dusty machinery. A stairway led off into an attic space above. Farming tools had been stacked beneath it. Ahead, a trapdoor set into the floor led down. Eldrad made for it. He clenched his fist, and the trapdoor shattered into splinters. Through the ragged gap, he found another stairwell. This one led down into penumbral gloom. Chains rattled in the basement space, the hooks on their ends clinking against one another in the breeze flowing from above. Eldrad had almost reached the last step when Prytanis came at him. Eschewing the sling guns, he went with a short pattern chainsword instead. Eldrad barely made the parry, sparks spitting between whirring metal teeth as they cut the edge of his witchblade. In desperation, he threw out a telekinetic pulse that sent the chains lashing, but which Prytanis deftly avoided. A thrust with the chainsword gored Eldrad's thigh, shredding his robes and cutting flesh. He screamed in both shock and pain. He'd expected the duel to be swift. Without the psychic inhibitors retarding his abilities, he could have crushed Prytanis with a thought. As it was, his powers were much reduced, practically that of the lowliest warlock.
"Narek,"
he said, retreating farther into the darkness, letting the hooks nip at his skin, belatedly realizing he had also said the name aloud.
"Your hired muscle is otherwise engaged," said Prytanis. "What are you even doing here, seer? You can't exactly kill me."
"I need to cut another strand," said Eldrad, clamping a hand over the wound in his thigh to staunch the blood.
A thought knitted the skin, but left it taut and sore. He limped into the shadows, gathering them around him, making it difficult to be seen.
Smart, he heard Prytanis say, "but I can disappear too."
Silencing the burring chain blade, he blended into the darkness. For a few moments, even the ambient sounds of the field and the distant battle faded, leaving Eldrad alone with his ragged breathing. That tranquility did not last.
"So you've turned, then?"
asked Prytanis, his voice echoing from the left. Eldrad stood his ground, ignoring the bait.
"Cheap tricks," he said, wary.
"Just doing my job, seer. Like you should be."
"You are insouciant, even for one of your blind race."
"You would not be the first to mention it."
Eldrad still couldn't detect him. The cellar seemed large, far larger than it had appeared from the upper floor, based on the outer walls of the barn above. Threats lurked in every shadow.
"And if I told you what you have been fed was a lie, that there was another way? I take my orders from the Autarch, you know that."
"Slaudar is dead."
"Then his last orders stand, which do not, I am sorry to say, include helping you."
"And what about the other one? He who you have been sent to watch?"
That provoked a twitch, a subtle movement Prytanis had not intended. Eldrad crept towards it.
"What about him? Your plan fucked him to hell and back. He's mortal now. No more do-overs."
"Though not all men want to live forever. What do you want, Damon?"
"Bargaining! Shit, you must be desperate. How badly did those clowns cut you?"
Deep, thought Eldrad, but said nothing. He crept closer, but the impression of movement kept shifting, confounding his efforts.
"What do I want?" asked Prytanis,
his voice echoing from left, then right and back, impossible to pinpoint.
"A drink might be nice. Out of this rustic nightmare runs a close second, though."
"I can give that to you. Release. Help me. Help him. There is a third way."
Eldrad raised his sword. A hook plinked lightly off the blade.
"No can do, I'm afraid. Orders, see?"
Prytanis leapt out of the darkness. Somehow he had got above Eldrad and descended upon him, the chain teeth of his weapon hungering.
A hulking figure smashed throughout the cellar wall, leaving a ragged hole that bled in the light. Narek took Prytanis in a sweeping charge, lifting him bodily across the cellar floor. The chainsword stabbed down repeatedly, but Narek would not be dissuaded. Flechettes protruded from his armour like little razored nubs. Bleeding from half a dozen cuts, carefully made through the vulnerable mesh joints in his warplate, Narek thrust Prytanis through the opposite wall and threw him back out into the field. Prytanis bounced hard, an ankle bone breaking audibly, a rib or two likely fractured, then rolled up onto his feet. Remarkably, he still had a hold of his weapon, but dropped it in favour of the pistols holstered at his hips. Muzzle flare streaked like a fiery smear as he moved. He'd already begun to regenerate. The ankle bone fused and knit. It barely slowed him down. Narek held up his arm, warding off the hasty burst fire, shards embedding in his vambrace. He bounded after Prytanis, who shot as he moved, one arm behind him, firing blind. Narek leapt over a salvo, rapidly covering the distance between him and his prey, then slamming down. Prytanis arrested his run, pulling up short and diving out of harm's way, pistols tucked beneath his body as he rolled and the earth caved in his wake. Narek swiftly rose from the crater he had made, drawing and swinging his gladius in one fluid movement. Prytanis bent back on his heels, arching his spine and folding his knees just enough that the legionary blade missed his body, taking only three buttons from his jacket. They had barely hit the ground before he was moving again. Narek lunged and thrust, trying to find extra reach, but Prytanis wove aside from that blow too. He rolled backwards, foot overhead, and made enough room to bring up Gahuru and Mehemetene. The gladius, suddenly impaling his left palm, spoiled Prytanis's aim. Narek glared. His right arm still extended from the throw, fingers loose. Prytanis wrenched out the blade with effort, then wielded it in his uninjured hand. It looked cumbersome. "If I jam this in your eye, will it kill you?" Narek smirked. "Try and find out." "I will!" Prytanis lunged fast. Narek moved faster. He trapped his opponent's arm with one hand and seized Prytanis's throat with the other. "You're a big, ugly bastard," said Prytanis, struggling to breathe, to speak. "Anyone ever told you that before?" Narek stared, unmoved. "Legion weapons are heavy," he said, "burdened with the blood from the lives they have taken." "Mine is weightier than most," he added, and snapped Prytanis's neck. The Perpetual fell limp in his grasp, and Narek let him go. He had dropped his rifle near the agribarn and saw it waiting for him, nestled in the wheat. Eldrad staggered into the light, still bleeding despite his best efforts to heal himself.
"A toll has been taken,"
he whispered, and gritted his teeth as he closed on where the farmer was hiding.
"John,"
he called. Grammaticus emerged from the golden wheat.
"I won't lie. It has been a pleasant fiction,"
he said, when Eldrad was close enough to hear it.
"Is any of this real?"
"It was real to you,
I suppose."
Pale wraithbone had begun to show through the gaps in the wheat and grass. The sun took on a more artificial cast, as of strange lumens, and seemed to lose its natural warmth. The agribarn remained, a fabricated structure placed here to complete the illusion. Grammaticus glanced over to where Prytanis had collapsed, flinching slightly when he saw Narek. The legionary barely acknowledged him as he retrieved the rifle. The long grass near to where Prytanis had fallen began to stir.
"You are allies?"
said Grammaticus to Eldrad, incredulous.
"He tried to kill Damon and myself."
"Is that why you're here now?
To finish what he started on Macragge? Now I've done your dirty work for you?" "Barthusa Narek has another purpose, John."
"Your death, isn't it?"
Grammaticus shrugged, though he appeared far from convinced.
"I guess I should feel relieved."
"You have another purpose," Eldrad confirmed.
"And now I'm back to being terrified and colossally annoyed."
Eldrad stared, unmoved by the human's histrionics.
"Where is the human Alanius Pearson?"
"How the hell should I know?"
replied Grammaticus, his attention half on the legionary as he loaded a round directly into the rifle's breech.
Even at a distance, it didn't look to Grammaticus like an ordinary bullet.
You recognize the ammunition, don't you, John?
Grammaticus nodded, eyes still on Narek.
Oh, it's smaller than I remember. No mistaking its power, though. That which cannot die can be slain by the fulgurite, or its shards. You've used it?
Grammaticus looked away, back to the seer, as the corpse of Daemon Prytanis began to rise, renewed. Eldrad nodded.
It has severed more than one immortal thread.
A shot reported across the field, echoing strangely in the false idyll of rurality the Eldar had made for their guest. Grammaticus did not flinch, and Eldrad could tell by his eyes that he knew Prytanis was dead. Really dead this time.
It can do that. It has done. And will do a great many things, said Eldrad. It has been seen.
Grammaticus tried to hide his shock. Eldrad felt a sliver of grief in Grammaticus at the death of Prytanis. To see what he thought was inviolable undone must have shaken his belief. And they were old comrades, too, Eldrad supposed.
And the mission on Macragge? The one you gave me, said Grammaticus. Did it work? Vulcan lives, I believe is the phrase.
Grammaticus said nothing for a few seconds, and Eldrad felt a measure of peace in him. But with that came the memory of Macragge, and of what he and Prytanis had shared there, fighting side by side.
Did you really have to kill him? Daemon Prytanis was a wretch, even when considered amongst your wretched species. Yeah, but did you have to kill him? His death no longer occludes the skein. And mine?
Asked Grammaticus. He leaned in and spoke behind his hand, mockingly conspiratorial.
And I'm not even going to pretend I understand what the hell you just said to me.
Eldrad smiled, though he found humans perturbing.
Your death will be your last, John. And what's to stop me taking it now and not doing whatever it is you need me to do? Your inherent morality, of course. That and a lingering sense of a task unfinished. You are placing a lot of faith in my morality. It would not be the first time.
True, Grammaticus conceded, and looked askance at Narek striding across the field towards them. A visible shiver passed through him.
I won't lie to you. Your fiend over there just killed a man I thought was unkillable. Protected by an ancient cabal that you have apparently been executing for some reason. I am just about cogent enough to have this conversation, but apart from that, I am increasingly losing my grasp on rational thought. Can you find him, John?
Despite his protestations, Grammaticus knew to whom the seer referred.
Are you going to kill him, too? No. Daemon was the last. Then perhaps, maybe... You must, John. Or he, you. That part is still vague. He will only trust you. Oh, and you're surprised by this? Why have you done this? Why did you need me to bring that Primarch back from the dead?
Eldrad laughed.
Well, is that funny? I don't understand Eldar humor. Only here at the end do you have questions. Oh, I've had them throughout. I was just too damn scared to ask them.
Eldrad nodded.
Very well, though there is little time.
He glanced to Narek, who shook his head, standing sentry in the wheat stalks, slowly bending in the breeze.
The Gorgon fell. His death sent a ripple across the skein. Fate had been altered, his destiny unwritten. I erred and placed my faith in the wrong son. I looked to fate again and found another. One who had first die and then be reborn. Vulcan.
Eldrad raised an eyebrow in curious amusement.
The capacity remains for rational thought after all. Is that a joke? An observation. Vulcan must prevail and take his place by his father's side. Horus must be defeated. Those are both pretty much gods, regardless of what your theistic position might be on such things. I'm not sure how I can help with any of that. Your role is crucial. I have seen it. Well, that skein of fate again?
Eldrad nodded once more.
You and Olanius Pearson have a role to play. An important one. For the record, I don't like this,
said Grammaticus. Any of it. In fact, I actively bloody hate it.
It is chaos. The will and whims of old gods. I have seen it. I beheld the fall of my race. We were hubristic, blind. Mankind is at once the greatest boon and the greatest threat to the primordial annihilator. Your souls, ours, it hungers for them. This is madness. This is straight-up insanity.
Have you ever seen what lurks beyond the veil?
Asked Eldrad.
I have seen it, Grammaticus said with a scowl, using anger to chase away his fear. That is what awaits mankind if Horus succeeds. Demons are real. Gods and magic are real. The old ways have returned, and the flame of enlightenment dwindles.
Grammaticus shook his head, still reeling.
And I can turn the tide? We can, all and I? What can we do? What use are men against gods?
Your emperor was once a man, of a kind at least. He had always placed great faith in men. It is fitting, then, that men should save him.
I think your race are overfond of poetry.
Eldred frowned. Grammaticus shrugged and shook his head.
Doesn't matter.
He stopped talking as soon as the hulking presence of Narek drew near, stinking of oil and blood and heat.
More coming,
he snarled, glancing down at the mortal as if remembering an insect that had dared to sting him. Eldred looked up. He felt them.
Your prison was isolated, John, but your jailers are coming now, and in force. You could either remain,
he said, looking back down at Grammaticus,
or you can prove you are the moral man I believe you to be.
Eyes returning to the hazy distance, imagining the warriors soon to amass there, Eldred delved within his robes and brought forth a rib of wraithbone studded with gems and inlaid with runic inscription, conjoined like circuitry. He noticed Grammaticus looking at it.
It will open a path.
Light flared, a maelstrom born from the very air as the ritual was done. Eldred rose from where he had driven the sharp tooth of the bone deep into the ground, his robes stirred by an eldritch wind.
What path?
Asked Grammaticus, standing in the light, shouting against the storm. Tears were streaming from his eyes as the wind lashed his face, his hair tossed madly.
A fork in the road, John! Here our fates diverge again,
said Eldred, facing the storm. Narek did the same, steady as a granite cliff, rifles slung across his back.
Our fates,
he said, his voice harbouring an unspoken threat.
You promised me retribution, Xenos!
Narek began to unsheathe the gladius he had taken from Prytanis's corpse.
You will have it, or at least the means to attain it. Taking it will be up to you alone. If you are lying, witch, then there will be nothing you can do. I'll find you.
I do not doubt it.
Shall we?
Said Eldred.
For mankind?
Asked Grammaticus as he was about to enter the storm. Eldred nodded.
For the Emperor,
he said dryly. Grammaticus stepped into the light and let it take him. They all did.